Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Harry Palmer to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
Without going into any great mess of detail, I think Jeff Pilgrim's not a good ass. Here he is, married to Marcia the Beautiful, and all set to take over the entire firm in time. But what does he do? Gets himself into one pickle after another simply because he won't heave Stella Bronson out. And it's not because he's carrying a torch for her. I happen to know he doesn't care tuppence for the woman, attractive as she is. Oh, no. No, he's high-minded and stubborn and won't give in to what he considers his wife's silly whims. Well, I'm taking advantage of the situation for all it's worth. If Pilgrim doesn't want Tressida Bendigo and company delivered to him on a platter, I do. And from what I can make out, we haven't far to go. Marcia's hardly speaking to the poor chap, I believe.
Marcia, listen, pet. Let's go back a year and begin all over again. We could, you know.
You told Uncle Tressida you were going away and I could come too or not, just as I liked. Did you mean that?
I don't know. Not at first, not when I talked to Puller. But I was out on a limb, Marcia. I had to talk a lot of rot, and anyway, I only began the story because I knew that anything I said to Puller on the phone, Millie Moffat would pass straight on to you.
There's no need to launch into a tremendous rigmarole, Jeff. I'm only curious.
I haven't said much about you and Millie Moffat, have I?
What is there to say?
Well, I could say it was a pretty rotten
show.
All
right, it was a rotten show. Are you going to have repartee, or do you think we might forget all about it?
Don't we have fun? What in the world's the point of going on like this? Man and wife till death do us part.
You seem to be bearing up. But of course you can always cry on Stella's shoulder.
Look, Marcia, what do you want?
I've told you a million times I want Stella Bronson out of your way.
So you can transfer your idiotic suspicions to someone else? Stella Bronson, Maggie Crowe, this one, that one. What's the difference? It's you who must change, Marcia. Don't you see that? Don't you see that the cause of all this jealousy exists only in your imagination?
Oh, of course. Not about you. You spread your charms about by the divine right of Geoffrey Adrian Pilgrim so that everyone can say his wife must be a blind little fool. And I'm supposed to like it.
Here we go again. Let's call it off before one of us starts throwing things.
Suits me.
Look, isn't there any way we can get together again? Do we always have to be at a dead end like this? Not so long ago, Marcia, I thought you were in love with me.
Would I care who you ran around with if I wasn't in love with you?
Don't tell me you confuse affection with ownership.
I don't want to own you, Jeff. I only want you to put me before anyone else.
And by that you mean let you have your own way in every mortal thing that comes into your head. I've refused you one thing only, Marcia. If you didn't like Stella because of her looks or her manner or the clothes she wore or the sense she drenched herself in, it'd be different. But so long as you want her fired because you think I take an interest in her, she stays. Do you honestly still think I'm keen on her?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's that. Are you coming with me to Harry Palmer's?
I told you before, no.
Good night, then. You'd better not wait up. I'll be late.
Jeff! All right, go then. I don't care. I can always get hold of Angela Tennant.
Hello, boy. Come on in. I'm terribly sorry. There was a bit of a mix-up and no one else is coming. Do you mind?
No. I'll be happy.
How's Marcia?
I'd expect. We just had another row.
I'll tell you what you need. Instead of sitting round here looking at ourselves, why don't we whiz down to Fig Tree Street?
Do you think that's a good idea?
If it does nothing else, it should get your mind off the little woman. Who knows? We might meet someone we know down on the bay.
No Fig Tree Street babes for me, Harry. But don't let that hold you up.
Whose car shall we take?
I'll toss you.
You cry.
All right. It's a tail.
It's a head. We take yours.
You said?
Let's go. Oh, hang it, Jeff. I almost forgot to pull up at this phone box, will you? There's a call I must make.
Sure.
I won't be 2 minutes.
Hello.
Listen, Stella. Can you get down to the Green Peony on Fig Tree Street?
I could. And what in the world for?
I'm on the way there now with Pilgrim.
So what?
Brighten up, Poppet. You can add, can't you? And every little bit helps. Chop on something fetching at the Dublin, hop into a cab.
Nothing doing.
Why not?
I have my reasons. One of them is that I don't run about Fig Tree Street at night on my lonesome. There are other reasons, but that one should hold you. Tonight.
But Stella, listen.
I'm tired. See you in the morning.
Well, what's going on with Love Brunson? I thought she'd have jumped at it. Oh, that doesn't match that.
Hello, Matthew. I expected you to be in bed asleep long ago. It's after 2.
I know. Did you have fun?
So.
Lily Moffat rang while you were away.
Yeah, that was nice of her. Not making a report on my day's telephoning, surely.
You don't have to be thoroughly nasty, do you? That's over and done with.
Sorry, Pet. Just give me time and I'll forget it. What did she want, anyway?
She rang to tell me about my brooch. She said you took it from her to bring home. Did you?
Yes. Yeah, I'd completely forgotten the damn thing. I didn't give it to you that night. You can guess why, can't you?
Yes, but where is it now?
In the bottom left-hand drawer of my desk.
Oh, so long as it's safe.
Well, who'd want to snaffle it?
Not Stella Bronson, surely.
Oh, don't make rotten remarks like that, even if you do detest it. I'll bring it home for you tomorrow evening.
You needn't bother, I can call in.
Just as you like, Marcia. You didn't wait up till this hour to ask me about the brooch, did you?
Don't be silly, Jeff. What a fantastic idea. Sleep tight. See you in the morning.
I wonder... You don't generally sit up half the night for nothing, Marcia. I wonder if it was a fantastic idea.
Well, this place is darned expensive, Marcia, darling, but it's worth it.
Oh, Jeff hasn't a clue about us today, has he?
Don't worry. Why did you want to see me?
Do I have to have a reason?
No, don't get intense, Harry. Please, I'm not in the mood. And I don't think we should go on doing this unless Jeff knows.
Unless he knows. Well, I say, Petal, you're not weakening, are you?
I don't know what I am. Just suppose you and Angela Tennant and Uncle Tressida... Just suppose you were all wrong.
Don't be silly, yes, Master. You think Jeff spent last night at my place, don't you?
Well, didn't he?
No. He talked me into shoving off to Fig Tree Street. And you know why? Just on the off chance that La Bronson might be at the Green Peony.
And was she?
No, but Jeff expected her. I don't get any fun out of this, Marcia, but you mustn't let him pull the wool over your eyes again and again.
But he denies having anything to do with her so consistently.
Don't you actually expect him to admit he's fond of her?
Oh, I don't know what to expect.
Would you divorce Jeff if you could?
I don't know. You keep asking me every time we meet like this. I don't know what I'd do, Harry. If only I could get Bronson out of the way, it might be different.
It'll never be different. If you get her kicked out, she'll still be round town, won't she? Do you think Jeff will stop seeing her on that account?
But what can I do? Oh, Harry, what can I do?
Well, you could leave him and go back to your uncle and Aunt Harriet, couldn't you?
And let Jeff do as he pleases? No, I won't do that.
Darling, he does as he pleases anyway.
Oh, that woman.
Don't screw your eyes up like that. You'll get wrinkles, Pet. Now, listen to me. In the past, you found out about Jeff bit by bit, made a fuss each time. It's a mistake. Treat him the way he treats you. Be as cagey as he is. And don't say a word until you're absolutely certain.
If only I could be.
Trust me. Do as I say, Marcia. Things will work out, and then who knows? You should have married me years ago, Angel.
There's still plenty of time.
Yes, and there's a proverb, darling. Hurry. It's later than you think. So let's work together.
Are you free now, Jeff? We have to tackle these costs. What do you call them sometime?
Differentials? No, they can wait for half an hour.
I only wish I could understand the beastly thing. Uh-oh. Nearly lost me scarab. Look, the pin's practically off.
So it is. Oh, good Lord, that reminds me. Marcia's brooch. I think I'll take it home.
Marcia's?
Yes, the one Millie Moffat had that day. I left it down in the bottom drawer here. Well, that's funny. Not square it was here. I distinctly remember shoving it under the fool's cap.
Well, can't you find it?
Just a minute. I'll heave all this stuff out. Hey, I say, this is no good. It was here.
Well, find it, for heaven's sake.
No one knew it was here. The cleaners never touched these drawers. That deuce is the darn thing got you.
Well, look in the others. You could be mistaken.
But I'm not mistaken. I pushed it well back.
Here, let me look.
See for yourself. The thing's empty.
How utterly wretched. Is it valuable?
I'm afraid so. But what are you worrying for?
Oh, I hate it when anything like this happens. I'm the only one to touch your desk besides you. Well, Jeff, find the beastly thing, please.
Here, I say, don't get frantic. This has nothing to do with you, Stella.
Oh, but it has. Don't you see? It has. Tell me quickly. Did Marcia know the brooch was in this drawer?
As a matter of fact, she did.
Well, Jeff, please, please find that brooch. You have to. You know what will happen if it's been stolen, don't you? We simply must find it. We must, we must. I have to think quickly here, but quickly. If I know Marcia Pilgrim, she'll seize on this. And what'll my prospects be worth then? It couldn't be that somehow Marcia pinched the thing herself, could it? Or could it?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.